You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're getting a clearer picture of Sac City Unified's dire budget. The district is navigating poor financial waters for the second time in less than a decade. Again, at risk of fiscal insolvency, and again, facing the threat of state receivership. The deficit has jumped around dramatically in recent months. Back in December, forecasting a $43 million shortfall. Fast forward to today, the latest financial report revealed a current budget deficit of $170 million. And in that time, the school board is making difficult decisions to cut costs. And they came under fire for one recent choice, approving to spend upwards of $400,000 on consultants to untangle the budget, when the county and the state are already providing oversight. Jenna Pendleton is the education reporter for the Sacramento Bee and has been covering this unfolding saga. She joins us now. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
So, quick reminder, how did we get into this position?
So, over the summer, in the fall actually, the district found out that there was about $80 million in unexpected funding at the end of the previous fiscal year. What that amounted to was a fiscal emergency, because there's been this deficit chasing the district for a long time. They already weren't in a great position. They knew that they were going to have to make some cuts to afford this teachers union contract that they approved over the summer. And then they find out, wow, we overspent by $80 million. That doesn't put us in a good position. However, the district has not been in a good financial position for a long time. FICMAT, which is the state-funded agency that serves as a watchdog for California school districts, issued a report back in 2019 that basically reads the same as a 2025 report, just in their poor fiscal practices and internal controls and spending habits that have led us to this point.
You know, and it's important to note, and I should have said this off the top, we have invited Sac City Unified on the show. We also have invited the SCTA, the Teachers Union, on the show as this has been unfolding, and that invitation remains open. You mentioned the Teachers Union contract. We did have the Sacramento County Superintendent Dave Gordon on the show. I mean, there are a lot of different perspectives as to why the district is in this dire financial situation. When you talk to the Teachers Union and other unions at the district, what do they make of the district's financial crisis? What do they attribute it to?
They certainly don't attribute it to their own contracts. Union leaders have long been vocal about dysfunction at the district, and they're not the only ones. You have trustees on the dais saying as much. You have business officials saying that as well. So I think what they point to is just a lack of accountability over the last several years. They're more focused on, when I talk to them about it, their position is, well, it's not our job to make sure the district can afford our contract. We fight for our members to get these benefits and pay raises and more staff to support special ed and social services and things like that, school psychologists. And it's up to them to make sure that they can afford the contract. I believe that the SCTA contract alone amounts to about $48 million over 3 years, including this year and the following 2 years. So not nothing for sure, but when you're facing $170 million in this year alone, it would be disingenuous to place it all on the teachers.
So let's get to that just, I don't know, this really dramatic deficit number that keeps kind of getting higher and higher with every school board meeting and every emergency meeting that's being held. I mean, back in December, as I mentioned, $43 million budget deficit. The latest update from March 19th, $170.5 million. Why are these shortfall estimates getting worse, like a lot worse?
Yeah. So there's been a lot of sort of back and forth. We had this fiscal solvency plan in November drafted by budget staff. And then when interim CBO Lisa Grant Dawson came into her position, she looked at that plan and said, I'm not really sure how to implement this. Some of these things don't seem actionable. And I think that we're going to have to rethink that strategy. So that added a lot of costs back to the district because they were already accounting for savings in that fiscal solvency plan in their first interim. So that kind of had to be undone. Additionally, Grant Dawson says that she has found that there is this $100 million deficit that has kind of been present in the budget, but more or less covered by funds that the district got during COVID, one-time funds from the state to support education during COVID, which kind of masked this problem for a long time. That's not exactly new information, but she, as one trustee said it, has been overturning rocks and finding a bunch of bugs and then overturning another rock and finding more bugs. And it's just gotten to this point where it is about $171 million. However, their current fiscal solvency plan has identified about $63 million in savings, meaning that we're looking at about $108 right now is what we're supposed to recover this year.
Yeah, I guess relatively better, you know, emphasis on relative, still does not look good. Where is the district spending most of its money? Like when we look at this, you know, I know that they are able to offset some of the $171 million, but where is most of this money going to?
Most of Sac City's spending is on its staff, which is true of every school district, but especially true at Sac City. I think other California districts hover at about 90% of their spending being on staff-related costs. And I believe in Sac City Unified, it's closer to 94%, which means that there isn't a lot of room to cut except for people. So there's a lot spent on salaries. Spending on teachers has gone up this year and in previous years as well. The other thing is that there is a lot of spending on special ed. They are provided some money from the state and federal government to account for special ed, but they have to transfer a lot of money from their unrestricted fund, which is where we're having the budget problems, to their restricted budget to pay for special education services. A lot of these are in the form of third-party contracts to provide, say, a speech language pathologist when they don't have enough in the district, one-to-one aides, things like that. It can even be settlement spending when a family sues a school district and says, you are not providing my child their legally mandated, fair and appropriate education. So we are going to go to a non-public school and you are going to pay for it, which is their right. And it is also very expensive. So there's kind of this issue where kids aren't getting what they need initially because of understaffing or other internal issues. And then it becomes a more expensive problem. Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the decisions that the school board is making, I mean, none of them are good, but one of them, I mean, they're really difficult and heartbreaking decisions. The district issued layoff notices to hundreds of employees last month. When could those take effect and which parts of the district have been impacted?
So what's crazy about that is that there have been a lot of layoff notices. Initially, we thought it was going to be like about 300. Now it's closer to around 700 because every single member of the central office staff received a pink slip on March 15th. The districts...
And for people who aren't, what does the central office do?
The central office coordinates school services at the district level, this is things like budget management, personnel management, HR, homeless services. Some of these people do go to school sites, and they basically help assist school site administration, mm-hmm. keep their schools running and within budget. And yeah, I think that's the
best way. Hub.
Yeah,
an administrative hub.
And there is criticism that there is administrative bloat at the district, that they have more administrators than they did pre-COVID, despite enrollment going down. That is also echoed in other school districts. That was a big part of the recent strikes that affected nearby school districts. So there's always a little bit of tension around that. But I don't know of any other school district ever issuing layoff notices to 100% of their central office staff. This includes, you know, leaders, chief communications officer, the interim superintendent. Obviously, or I should say, maybe it's not obvious, but not all of these people will be laid off because the school district simply will not function. They meaning school leadership, the interim superintendent, Consi McCarn, and the Board of Trustees are kind of using this as an opportunity to entirely restructure, to consider what roles are the most important, what do they need to be legally compliant, how they can trim down and just kind of build from the bottom up to have a functioning central office without overspending in that regard. It is interesting to me that if they laid off all of these people that they issued pink slip notices to, it would only be about like $40 million in savings. Like that alone wouldn't even be enough to account for this year's deficit.
Yeah. So, okay. So that leads me to the next question in the last like 2 minutes or so that we have. So the school board came under fire for approving a spending plan of up to $400,000 on consultants to help them untangle this budget crisis. What went on there?
This is a very interesting thing to me. I published a story this morning. It's kind of an autopsy of like how this went wrong, because the contract was canceled after the county assigned fiscal advisor for the district said, no, we're not doing this. Part of it is that they have a CBO in place that should be doing some of these, most of these functions that they were contracting with this consulting firm to do. The other piece of it is that these state leaders involved in helping Sac City maintain fiscal solvency are not convinced that this is the right firm to be assisting them in this way. So could there be another consulting contract for similar services soon? It's possible, but it sounds like the state and county really want the district leadership to partner with the interim CBO instead of bringing new people in right now.
And what is CBO?
Chief Business Officer.
Chief Business Officer. Okay. Finally, I mean, enrollment is still happening. You know, kids are still enrolling to go to Sac City Unified Schools. Where does the risk of state takeover stand today?
That's a great question. So there is a piece of good news here because it has been staved off until about September, meaning that it's in the next fiscal year rather than the possibility of going insolvent this year. The reason that's a good thing is because it gives them more flexibility with a new year's budget to move things around and retain cash. The cash is the important part. The way that it has kind of been explained to me is that the district can still be in a $170 million or $108 million deficit, but so that's like their credit card bill, but they have some money in checking to pay people, pay for things that they need to function. And when they run out of money in their checking is when they face the possibility of state takeover.
Jenna Pendleton, is the Sacramento Bee's education reporter, Jenna. As always, thank you so much for joining us. And Jenna was providing us an update on Sac City Unified's budget crisis. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.